Now, here's the thing. I was talking with one of our youth workers, Megan, and she had made mention of this wonderful meme that that people that's been going around, and I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook or Instagram or whatever like that, but it goes a little something like this. It says, you know, gosh, I'm really proud of myself because I've survived like 5 end of the worlds by now. Did I say it? It's okay, right, Megan? Close enough, okay. But that's the idea. I am 33 years old. That's not very old, but it's still older than you guys. I know Angelique was telling me about that, how she was like 2 years old when I got married. And that is really embarrassing, how I'm just getting old. I look at my wonderful, luscious beard, and there's like white beard hairs. You know you're getting old when you got white in your beard. I mean, I have a beard to begin with, you know. Not everybody can do that, ladies. But it's like crazy how many things people think are in the Bible or that the Bible says when it really doesn't. Has anybody ever read the book of Revelation? Let me see hands. Okay. Who has never read the book of Revelation? Who has tried to read it, but they just stopped? All right. Now we got some honest people in this place. Did anybody get scared? Like, once, like, that dragon started coming out. Like, oh, no, I wasn't ready. So, it's kind of weird, right? Like, the first couple chapters are cool, and then it just goes kind of wonky, if I can say that. But let's talk, man, because some people are super scared about the end of the world, and other people are just kind of like whatever about it. They're like, yeah, whatever, world's never going to end, blah, 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 science, whatever, you know. And that's cool, I get it all, but the bottom line is this, is that, you know, the Bible tells us, the book of Revelation says, you need to read this stuff, and if you read it, you're going to be blessed. So if you read it and you were scared, or you're like, I don't get this, Pastor Richard. This is weird. I don't know what anybody's saying. Then let's talk tonight. Let's talk so you can get blessed, right? So you can feel okay, so you can understand it, so you don't have to look at it and say, I don't know. So you don't have to be that guy, okay? Let's read this. Okay. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read the whole book right now. Not really, just kidding. I don't have time. It says in chapter 1, it says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, that would be us, the things which must shortly take place. Now Jesus sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now John bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony, the story of Jesus Christ, and to the things that he saw. He wrote it down. Blessed is he who reads and hears the words of this prophecy, to keep those things which are written in it, to listen to it, because the time is near. And then he begins to write about these letters given by God to seven churches in seven different cities. Now, okay, this is the opening, right? So you got to catch a couple things here. Is that these are things that are yet to come. Now, wait a minute. Here's what you got to remember. Is John the Apostle wrote this 2,000 years ago. So there's been a lot of things that have happened in the past 2,000 years. Y'all been listening in social studies class, right? World history, American history? Yeah, I hope so. You're at least getting a D+ or up, right? A lot's happened since then. So that means that there's a potential that some of the things in this book have already happened. See, I'm trying to like stroke my beard, but also hold the microphone. Okay, see, so let's get a glimpse of this. See, not everything in this book is about the end of the world. Let me think about it. We just read the opening to Revelation. Is it the revelation of the end of the world? No, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. And what happens is this, is when we start to think, okay, where's the nuclear bombs in here? Because there's got to be nuclear bombs. Then you start losing it. You miss it. If you read the book of Revelation looking for, like, the end of the world and, like, hellfire and brimstone and like three-headed animals and stuff, then you're going to get a little distracted and it's going to freak you out. That's why you had nightmares. It wasn't just the pizza as you ate while you were reading this book. It's because you were looking at the wrong things. You see, if you really want to understand this part of the Bible, then you have to keep Jesus at the center of it all. Right, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sorry, can't make it Unity practice because I'll be at Catalyst practice. Okay, so you gotta keep Jesus right there at the center, because if you don't, then you'll get it twisted and you'll freak yourself out, and then you'll start seeing things and then the demons and it just gets ugly. Okay, so but some of this stuff. Okay, now once you start looking at for Jesus in everything here, then you begin to tell, okay, this is a picture, this is an illustration, this is for really reals, and this is just kind of like what it looks like. Because see, Revelation, the book of Revelation is like looking behind the scenes. Have you ever watched like those, have you watched like a DVD, I don't know if people still watch DVDs now, but you know like the editor's cut or like the behind the scenes footage? You ever seen like the special effects portion where you see and they're like the actors are doing their thing but they're in like a green screen and it's like super lame? This is kind of what's happening, except not the super lame part. You're kind of, with Revelation, you're beginning to see behind the scenes of what happens in the physical world. See, it's a picture. It's kind of like a peeling back of the curtain to see what things look like from God's point of view. And you begin to see spiritual things. You see, Revelation, the book of Revelation, is about spiritual things in eternity. And see, it's weird to us, because our life is all about physical things now. It's like the exact opposite. Like we think about like, what am I going to wear? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, did she just smile at me? Ah! You're worried about your grades. You're worried about your parents paying the bills. We're worried about the arguments you have with your friends, which are all like really important things, right? Can a brother get an amen? But what happens is we have to make sure that our perspective is good, because a good perspective doesn't just look at physical things now. It has to look at spiritual things in eternity. And see, this is how you can tell you're really beginning to grow up in your walk, is it's not just, dang, that girl fine. I want her number now. You know, how can I at you, girl? You begin to say, okay, if I was to get into a relationship with this young lady, what's that going to do to my spirit? How's that going to affect my walk with God down the line? See, you begin to look at things in a deeper level, and that's what Revelation wants to get us to the place. So let's do this, because we're not going to get through the whole book today. Don't say amen to that. We're just not going to get through the whole thing today. So let's do this. Let's figure out real quick, what is Revelation not going to tell you? Because there's some things people look for in that little book that you are not going to find. And then you're going to find out some things that you are going to find. So let's break this open. Okay. What will you not find in Revelation? You will not find what day the world ends. Sorry, guys. Not going to happen. You're not going to happen. There's this dude. He said in August 2011, the world's going to end. I missed it. But then a dude was like, oh, wait, I was off. That's when the world's going to begin to end. It'll end 1600, because that's a good number, days later. Do you know what that day is? Tomorrow. Like, literally. I mean, four years ago, they literally, like, took out billboards. They had, like, their cars, like, you know, like, where you put, like, the sticker on it and stuff. It's like the whole car, like, just wrapped. They did that, and they drove it all through. They took out TV commercials and said, Jesus is coming back, and it didn't happen. Kind of makes you look stupid when you do stuff like that. There was this, back in 1988, that's right, when some of you guys, like, before you were born, this dude wrote a book, and it was 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Missed it again. You know what happened? When it didn't happen, he wrote another book. 89 Reasons Jesus is Really Coming Back in 1989. One of those reasons was because he didn't come back last year. He didn't sell as many books that time. Look, in the year 666 AD, people were freaking out. Did you know that people thought Jesus was coming back in the middle of the Civil War? Literally, they thought Jesus was coming back in the middle. In England, In the 1600s, they thought, they knew, that pastors would preach at that time, they knew without a shadow of a doubt that King James was the Antichrist. Do you know a lot of people read the King James Bible today? Same guy. See, look. Bottom line, you are not going to find anywhere when Jesus is coming back. You could look throughout the entire book. You could add numbers up and divide numbers and take them away. You're not going to find it. In my day, it was Y2K. At the year 2000, we were going to party like it's 1999, and then the world was going to end in 2000. That's what it was. People literally, like, Microsoft was like, we have to change our software, because as soon as it goes to 2000, all the computers in the entire world are going to fail. And then we had, like, a New Year's party, and then it was cool. And then my phone was like, boop. But see, they weren't smartphones back then. Everybody had a stupid phone. You couldn't even take pictures with your phone. I was like, wait, what's my beeper number? Oh, okay. It didn't work. This is a verse in Mark 13. Mark 13, 33, Jesus, 32, Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. No one. Who knows the day or the hour? No one. So if somebody says, Jesus is coming back soon. Yeah, I get it, but you don't know. No, it's a surprise. Like a thief in the night. Shablam! Nobody knows. You will not find anywhere that you, I don't care who it is. Pastor Richard says Jesus is coming back in a week. Make sure I get fired. Because I'm lying, okay? It's not going to happen. Ever since the Bible was written, people have been trying to figure it out, and they can't. And Jesus did that on purpose. You will not find out anywhere in the book of Revelation who the Antichrist is. Do you know one reason why? Because the word Antichrist is not even in the book of Revelation. Did you know that? The word Antichrist is not even in the book of Revelation. Like, find it. If you find it, I'll give you $100. But it can't be in, like, your pen. Okay, don't write it in there, because that don't count. Yeah, you Photoshop it, then I'll give you some daps, and that's about it. But Antichrist, you can find the beast, you can find the dragon, you can find the false prophet, you can find the lawless man of perdition, 666, all that kind of stuff. But the word Antichrist is not even in there. That doesn't mean there's not going to be an Antichrist, because there will. The Antichrist is real. No, but the bottom line is the Antichrist. You're not going to find out who it is. The Bible says that you know he's a man, and his number is to be 666. Now, back in the day when this was written, that number was added up to Emperor Nero, and that was the Antichrist back in 70. I mean, that's where everything kind of lines up, and he, like, did some crazy things in the temple, and was like, there's pigs, and it was weird, dude. Weird, okay? And it was like blood, and it was nasty. And his name added up to the 666, and but you're not going to find out if, like, Obama is the Antichrist. You're not going to find out if this dude in the Middle East is this European. Look, you're just not going to know. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, if you're not careful, you could add up the letters and numbers of your name, and you could have 666 is yours. And then you gotta yell at your mom, why are you gonna make me the Antichrist, Mom? I didn't ask for this. but you're not gonna find it out. But here's the thing. In First John 2, verse 18, it says this. First John 2, 18, if you guys gotta put it up there, I'll start flipping to see who wins. Oh, little children, it's the last hour, you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. But wait, check this out. Even now many Antichrists have come. Wait, there's more than one? That just gets worse, right? By which we'll know this is the last hour. All throughout history, there have been antichrists. Back in the 40s, World War II, you know what I'm saying? Hitler. Everybody said Hitler's the antichrist. Everybody said Hitler's the antichrist. Was Hitler the antichrist? Was he? We're still here, right? You're still here, right? Me too. I didn't like miss anything. I don't think I missed anything. But, and then once they killed Hitler, well, Hitler killed himself. Who was next? Stalin. He's the guy in Russia. I don't know if you guys remember that part of history. Stalin. He was the Antichrist. Communism. Antichrist. Who next? Bin Laden. And we capped him. We're still here. You know who next? It was Saddam Hussein. You guys remember Saddam Hussein? Not just me, right? That was back when I was your age. It was all about Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein. The Antichrist. But then we capped him too. Dang! We're still here. Who's the new Antichrist? Kim Jong-il? This is like the list you don't want to make. You might be the Antichrist if it's ISIS. It's got to be ISIS. Not Hillary. No. No. Like, right, take your pick. Yes, who is the Antichrist? Donald Trump. That is a good guess. Okay. First John 4:3. Throw it up there real quick. First John 4:3. Let me read this real quick, and we can wrap this thing up. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago, is now already in the world. I would not be surprised to say that every generation has an Antichrist. Was Hitler the Antichrist? Yeah, why not? I think so. Stalin, I think he was an Antichrist. Now, there is the capital A Antichrist that's coming, but every Nero was an Antichrist. Look, right now there's people that are all over the world are working to destroy the work of God. They're working to destroy the work of God, and that's the spirit of Antichrist. Anybody that says Jesus is not God, anybody that comes against the church is working in a spirit of Antichrist because they're anti-Christ. Like anti-freeze, make sure your car don't freeze. Antichrist, trying to come against Christ, making sure Christ don't Christ. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. That's how you can find it. That's how you can know. Look, to be honest, look. To be honest, you know, the Antichrist is coming. The Bible talks about the beast and all that kind of stuff. And he's on his way. Who knows when? We know it's going to be soon. But the truth of the matter is you have to be able to know this is when someone comes against the things of God, that's the operating spirit they work in. And here's another thing, too, is you're just not going to know everything that's inside of Revelation. You're not going to figure it out. Some of it is just kind of crazy, and you're not going to know until after the fact. Look. In Revelation 10, verse 1 through 4, John's seeing all these crazy things in heaven. And all of a sudden, there's these seven thunders. Goosh, 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 goosh. Seven thunders. And they're saying something. It's like this voice just speaking from heaven, saying this stuff. And he's like, oh, man, that's pretty important. Let me get my pen. But then he stopped. The Bible says in Revelation 10, go ahead, put it up there. It says, I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. What? That's not it. Oh, wait, 1 through 4. Yeah. Like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire. Next one. Yeah, here we go. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea, left foot on the land. That's some crazy stuff. And he says this. He cried out with a loud voice, and when the lion roars, he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Finally, it says this. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard the voice from heaven saying, seal these things up which the seven thunders uttered. Do not write them. There's just some things we're not going to know. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says this. It says that if darkness knew what God was working, if they really knew what God was trying to do, they would never have crucified Jesus. You know, if Satan knew God's plan that was written in the Bible, he never would have crucified Jesus. Y'all play sports, right? Some people here play sports. So if you're going to, like, make a play the next play, are you going to tell the other team, are we going to blitz? Hey, just want to let you know, I'm going to pass. I won't surprise you. We're going to pass. But then I'm going to fake it. I'm going to give it to the dude behind me. Right? That's stupid. So Okay, if God is trying to win over evil, why would God write everything good that he's going to do down in this book? You think the devil reads the Bible? Yes! Of course he does! He quotes the Bible to Jesus! Look, why would God say everything exactly he's going to do if he's being cryptic about it? Because he's going to pull a juke move on Satan, bro. And then when it happens, we'll be like, oh, that's what he was talking about. That's what happened with Jesus. Jesus sitting down with the disciples after he was crucified. He's like, hey, guys, remember that one thing? Yeah, that was me. No way, that was you? But now we know. Now you can find Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. But they didn't know back then because it was like sneaky. That's right. God's sneaky. We know just enough to get us through. No, okay. Here's what you will find in Revelation. Okay, here's what you will find. You will find the warnings that you need to look for. See, look, Jesus is not going to tell you exactly when he's coming back, but you know what to look for. Remember wars, rumors of wars, all that kind of stuff. What Jesus says, he says that that's just the beginning. Newsflash, it's been really violent the past 2,000 years. And that's just the way it is. That's just the beginning. It's bigger than just wars, guys. It's bigger than just wars. Revelation 1, 17 through 19, Jesus says this. He says, look, guys, don't worry. I'm in charge. He says, John is overwhelmed and he falls at Jesus' feet dead. He falls dead right there. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the one who lived. I was dead, but behold, I am now alive. Amen. I have the keys to hell and death. He says, I have the keys to hell and death. And when all that stuff hits the fan, you don't have to worry. See, this is what Revelation's about, is the fact that you're not supposed to be scared. Like, you got this dragon coming out, and there's horns, and this weird lady riding this thing, and it's like things are falling out the sky, and stars are blowing up. I mean, it's crazy. But that stuff shouldn't scare you. Why? Because he's the first, he's the last. Look, if Jesus can handle stars blowing up and dragons coming out the sea, that's what it says in there. You got to read it. It's crazy. If he can handle that stuff, then he can handle algebra class. Can a brother get an amen? Look. If Jesus knows how the world's going to end, he could get you through your boo-boo problems, okay? Look, if your family is falling apart, is Jesus still the first and the last? You see what I'm saying? Look, if Jesus can handle seven bowls of wrath, he can handle seven periods five times a week. Okay? This is what Revelation is talking about. Revelation is about Jesus Christ being in charge. Look, Revelation 3:22 says, look, if you got ears, who got ears in here? Who has ears? At least one. Then you need to hear. Jesus is not going to surprise anybody, guys. If you're listening, he'll talk to you and tell you what's coming up next. Here's how you know when Jesus is getting ready to come back. There's this thing called the fullness of the Gentiles. That's like a really religious word. It means when the whole world's preached to, he's ready. But Jesus is not going to end the world till everybody has a chance to hear about Jesus. That's why we do mission trips. That's why we do missionary work. That's why we do this stuff. Because as soon as everybody has a chance to hear the world, then it's fair. Then it's right. And Jesus is ready to wind this thing down. But I don't know about you, but we got the internet now. And everybody hearing about Jesus. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, the gospel's never been so easy to preach. And ultimately, the world has been never so easy to blow up. Right? It is, like, so easy to blow this world up now these days. And that's how you just know things are winding down. Because the word's getting out. Revelation will tell you what kind of Christian you're supposed to be. Revelation 12:11. The Bible says that we need to be a person that lives in the power of God, that is vocal about the things of God, and that you were so willing to live your life for Jesus Christ that you're willing to die for it. Are you willing? Do you love Jesus more than life? That's what Revelation tells us. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is so important to your life that he is more important than life itself? That's what Revelation is. I've never been so challenged in my life to be a real Christian as when I've read Revelation. Not because I'm scared, not because I don't want to miss the rapture, not because, you know, I'm like, I don't want to wake up and, where did my family go? No, because it challenges me, because Jesus died for me, so am I willing to live and to die for him? And all of a sudden, all my problems begin to get really small when I ask my, that's the kind of Christian I need to be. If you don't want to read the Revelation, then just read the first three chapters. It's seven letters to seven churches. And it's like a report card. You're doing good, you're doing bad, and this is how you improve. Which one of those churches are you? Which one of those churches does your life look like? You got to read that stuff. That tells you what kind of Christian to be. And lastly is this. Revelation will tell you, when it's near, which is now, what kind of Christian you need to be now. It'll tell you this. God is in control. Okay, you got seven bowls of wrath. You got trees getting burned up. You have armies rolling up on each other. You have these weird, crazy things. You got the beast and the image and then 666 and on the forehead and the hand, all this crazy stuff. And God's pouring out judgments, bowls of wrath, and trumpets just blowing up all these things. And do you know who's in charge of this? Jesus. Who is telling the angels to blow their trumpet? Jesus. Who is telling the angels to pour out these bowls? Jesus. Look, God knows exactly what he's doing. And he is in charge of the beginning, and he is in charge of the end. If you're a Christian in this place, you do not need to be afraid of these things that are happening in this book. Because if God's in charge, he watches and takes care of his own. So come hell or high water, you're going to be all right. Revelation 19. I just want to read these and then I'm done. Revelation 19, verse 11. You guys are going to turn. You can just write them down and read them at home. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on that horse, on him, was called faithful and true. Ooh, that's a good word. Those are good words. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Jesus is like our best friend, cuddle bug. But this Jesus here, he judges and makes war. You know Jesus is about to kick some butt. You ever want to kick somebody's butt? That's right. Don't worry, Jesus is gonna do it. He judges and he makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. You better keep it. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Ooh, that nasty. And his name is called what? The Word of God. He's on my side. And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, they followed him on white horses. It says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, snaps, and with that he would strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads on the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of a mighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh, and that's kind of weird, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. See, Jesus is not on a cross. Jesus is not in a tomb. Jesus is not some sissy, blonde-haired, blue-eyed surfer dude coming in just to hug people and pat you on the back. No, Jesus means business. You don't mess with my God. And you know what? If I'm his child, you don't mess with me. Because if you mess with me, you mess with Jesus. And this Jesus, he ain't somebody's best friend. He's out to do business. If you mess with the bull, you get the horns. And at the end of all days, I want to be on the right side of this horse. I want to be riding on the back with him, not on the other end. Because, look, you ever wonder, how come bad things happen? You know why? Because Jesus hasn't rode in on the horse yet. That's why. And he comes with all that stuff to make every wrong thing right. Last verse, Revelation 22, 12 through 13. I hope this makes sense to somebody. It says, Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13. Bam! Get it up there before that white horse comes. Boom! Whatever, I'll just flip there. I have it in my Bible. It's there. I didn't rip it out yet. Some of this stuff is just crazy. You ever read some of the Bible, it's like, man, I don't want to read that because it means I have to change. Oh, man. I beat you. Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward, that sounds good is with me. Because that's my reward right there. That's my reward. I'm going to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus wins. That's the end. You know what it's like. You see a movie, and you know the good guy's not going to die, but it looks really bad. You're like, oh, there's like 45 minutes left. This is getting really bad. Oh, you're like all tense. Oh, I know. Oh, no, be careful. No. But you know, at the end, he's going to pull through at the end. It's just kind of nerve-wracking. That's what it is right now. Life is nerve-wracking because you got family issues. You got to pull your grades up. You don't know if you're going to make varsity this year. You just doesn't look like the Chargers are going to make it to the Super Bowl again. I mean, you know, you're just down and you're thinking, how can it all work? But it's going to work. It is going to work out in the end. Why? Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. If you ever feel like you're going to lose, you just got to remember what side you're on. Because God don't lose. See, that's what Revelation's about. Revelation is about God's victory. About a jacked up world getting put back together. Because it's not about just the end times. It's about all times. What God's done through history. Yeah, one reason I like history is because it tells me what the future is going to be like. Christianity has been almost wiped out numerous times. Literally has almost been eradicated. But we're still here. You can't stop us. We'll just go underground. You can't stop Jesus. Seriously, you think you're going to stop Jesus? I don't care what. Lock us up. Cut off our heads. Because they're doing that stuff now all around the world. In the past 100 years, 45 million Christians have been killed. 45 million Christians. 45 million Christians that we know of have been killed in the past 100 years. Over 100,000 Christians this year will be imprisoned, brutally murdered, attacked, and assaulted for their faith. No less than 100,000. Can't stop us. Because he is the first and the last. Jesus wins in the end. I know the end of the book. You guys got somebody? Let's give him praise.